You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
How about that new website, gang? It's finally here, the highly touted new design that we have been promoting since, I guess it was January or February, was finally unveiled on Wednesday, May 1st, and I, for one, think it looks absolutely fantastic. Want to, at the very top of tonight's show, thank the web team that has been working for weeks on this overhaul, and of course, to all the loyal donors whose contributions made this improvement possible. Welcome, everyone, to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday, May 4th. Keith Alexander is in the studio with me as we get things kicked off this evening. And yes, indeed, thepoliticalcesspool.org looks a lot different and a lot better tonight than it did a week ago today. The last time we had a facelift on the site was back in 2007, 2008. So it had kind of had its same look for about 5 years, and we wanted to do a little bit better, and we did. If you have not been to it yet this week, folks, check it out. If you had some of the pages there bookmarked, for instance, the archive page, where you can go and get our most recent shows or even programs going back for 9 years, you'll want to rebook the archives page in your favorite places. That link changed. Of course, the website's overall is still the same, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Really, really like it. Go check out the crew page. You know, every page on that website has been tinkered with in one way or the other. Either we've added new pictures or we've added new text, but every page has seen improvement. The home page, a lot of differences there. The crew page, I really like Keith Alexander's portrait. I mean, it's great. He wears that coonskin hat into the studio every week too, by the way. Mission statement, you'll find out what motivates us to take action. We updated the history of the Political Cesspool Radio program all the way through present time. Of course, the blog, the donate page, the book page, the archive page. We got a new guest and events calendar. That's still under construction, but there you will find a list of our guests for weeks into the future once we finally get that done. That's the only thing that we're still waiting to be completed. Everything else is good to go. Added a lot of new pictures into the photo gallery, more videos into the video gallery. And by the way, Keith Alexander and I, along with Eddie the Bombardier Miller, are going to get to work on producing additional high-definition quality YouTube videos that we're going to be posting to the website every other week. So listen, folks, we are getting ready to make major strides with this show. Not that we have ever stood complacent. You know, every week we're making news. We're doing a good job on this show, if I do say so myself. But we're getting ready to do the equivalent of Lee's raid into Gettysburg here over the course of the next several weeks. And we're going to be unveiling these advancements week by week, and I think you're going to like them. We got some big plans to really move the needle with the show, and of course, your support makes all that possible. But again, thepoliticalcesspool.org, every page there has something new. We encourage you to go and check it out for yourself. And I got another quick story I want to share to everyone before I toss it over to Keith. My wife's brother, my wife is a triplet. I don't know if, I know you knew that, Keith, but I don't know if the rest of the audience did. My wife is a triplet, meaning, of course, that she and her twin sister and twin brother all came out at the same time. There's three of them in the womb. Well, her brother is getting married tomorrow, which just so happens to be our anniversary as well, May 5th. And so all of her family is in town, and we went to the zoo today. My wife, myself, our daughter, my wife's sister and her husband and their two kids, and we all went to the zoo today. And we were walking down one of the paths there, and all of a sudden, I look behind me. I hear a couple of guys yelling, "Political cesspool, political cesspool!" And It was three guys. They looked to be maybe college age, maybe, you know, they were seniors in high school. I'd say 18, 19 years old, three guys and a couple of girls. And I turned around and apparently they recognized me as they passed me on the walkway there. And I turned around and they were giving me the thumbs up sign and pumping their fist. And of course I played it cool and just nodded and kept on about my way. But, you know, not often that a radio guy gets recognized. It does happen from time to time, but it always makes you feel good. So there you have it, Keith, just, you know, the youth of Memphis, at least five of them, know about the show and recognize us there at the zoo.
You know, we're more popular than our opponents would ever want to give us credit for, particularly with young listeners. And I think that probably has to do with the fact that the young are always rebelling against the establishment. And I guess it's a mixed blessing, but now liberalism is the establishment and people that oppose liberalism are the rebels. So, in fact, I think that we here in the South have been rebels forever. And, you know, this is that's an encouraging thing. I'm surprised that when you went to the zoo, I'm surprised that the gatekeeper didn't turn to your wife and say, thanks for bringing him back.
Well, we pay membership, so that doesn't happen anymore. But anyway, you know, one thing, we got a very busy show tonight, but before we go to the first break and get down to business, one of the things we've been doing here in the last few weeks is taking a couple of selections from our correspondents over the course of the last week and sharing them with you on the air. Normally that comes in the form of an email, but this week, Keith, in addition to all the emails we get, we got a postcard from a listener who visited the aforementioned Gettysburg battlefield. And the back of the postcard reads, "A new birth of freedom." And our listener, quite rightly, crossed out the word freedom and wrote in tyranny, a new birth of tyranny, which was exactly what Lincoln's victory in his war was, as if American freedom was preserved by the North's invasion of the South. It wasn't the South that was trying to impose their will on the North. It was quite the opposite. But nevertheless, the postcard reads, "Dear James and gang, I just visited Gettysburg and thought you'd appreciate the card. It was the only one with the stars and bars." And there you see on the front of the card here, I'm showing it to Keith. They got one side American flag, one side the Confederate flag, and the 150th anniversary of Gettysburg. But anyway, Keith, what's so interesting about this card, you would figure that one of our Southern listeners must have gone up to Gettysburg, found the card, and mailed it to us. But no, this listener hails from Vermont. So, you know, we have listeners all over the world, certainly here in the South, in the North, wherever righteous seeking people are, you will find our audience. And so a listener from Vermont who is right thinking goes to Gettysburg, finds a card with the Confederate flag, sends it to us. And thank you, Nathan, for that.
It makes you feel good and makes you feel that maybe our Confederate History Month emphasis every April is having its effect and impact. And you really touched on the key point there. It was the North, or Lincoln, forces that invaded the South. It wasn't the South that invaded the North. There was only one northern town put to the torch by the Confederate Army in the entire war, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. And that was basically to object to the wanton destruction that was being visited upon the South. In North Mississippi alone, 23 towns were put to the torch by Grant and Sherman's armies. And that included 12 county seats. So, you know, that's what people need to understand. And the same thing about the Civil Rights Movement. It was Great Neck, New York coming down to Birmingham. It wasn't Birmingham going up to Great Neck, New York to change their ways.
Amen, Keith Alexander the Great. We're going to take a break, folks. Stay tuned. We're back with a lot more tonight. I promise you that.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, we're going to get down to business now. But first, I want to give a quick shout out in terms of the listener mail we receive each week to a gentleman, and he is that. Curtis in Florida. This is a TPC super fan who, in addition to being a financial supporter of the program, has now, over the course of the last several weeks, began to send us in a comprehensive recap and analysis of his thoughts on each and every show. And it's about three or four pages of excellent insight on what he liked, what he didn't like about the show. And I'm telling you, it's prescient. He had our audience, Keith, and I know people think we blow smoke, but the level of intelligence of our audience has got to be second to none. I mean, every time you meet somebody who listens to the show, every time you get emails or letters from somebody who listens to the show, just always so well written, always so well spoken, thoughtful, genteel. I mean, these folks out there, folks, make it all worthwhile.
More than that, they're insightful and they're cogent. They're well expressed. They show people that aren't sleepwalking through life. These are people that are aware of what's going on. They know how it's affecting them. They know what's behind it. They know who's behind it. And because of all that, we feel this special bond with our audience. In fact, we realize it's humbling to read these things because we realize there are people out there that basically could do this better than we could, that listen every week, but they enjoy it because we're the one oasis in this vast desert called the national media of America today.
And that's why we've made so much news, because we do stand out from the crowd. And it's why we stood the test of time. That and, of course, the audience. Okay, down to business, Keith. You know, I was so impressed with you, buddy, a couple of weeks ago, or was it last week, whenever it was, when we did the rapid fire segment. You know, we did a story every 2 minutes. And we're going to have to do that tonight because we got too much to cover and we're not going to ever get to it all unless we make haste. So I'm going to set the table. You got 2 minutes on the clock and then we're moving on. First one. You are a racist if you have a master bedroom in your house. Not only a racist, but a sexist too. And to that I would ask, and I wrote this on the blog, did the mentally deranged adherents of political correctness purposefully go out of their way to find stuff to be offended about? Or is it just a gift? Effeminate men can have an owner's suite in their home if they like, but the room that I sleep in will always be called the master bedroom. But here's the story. If you're looking for a spacious master bedroom in your new house, you might be out of luck. Home builders are scrapping the term master bedroom to describe a home or apartment's largest bedroom in the floor plans. Owner's suite will be used in the future to avoid what are described as racist and sexist connotations associated with the term master bedroom. The logic behind the move, according to reports, is that the term master connotes the room is owned by a man. Furthermore, the loaded historical context of the word master has deep significance relative to the history of African slavery in the United States. So, master bedroom, you have one, you're a racist and a sexist and an overall bad guy. Keith, how much more of this nonsense can normal people be expected to take? Now you are a racist if you don't change the name of your bedroom to owner's suite.
Well, we've maintained this all along. You are a racist if you are a white person. And I'm sure that master bedroom is something that probably was coined by a white person. So is there any wonder that they found a new way to charge you with racism? This is the latest. And it's really kind of funny. You said you'll always sleep in a master bedroom. Well, if our true masters of the universe, these global elites, have their way, we're all going to be living in a broom closet. You know, we had an article on the blog a few months ago that they all want us to live in less than 500 square feet. They want to have all of us buying these little portable homes. That's what they're recommending, where you put your clothes in the loft, you have a fold-down bed, and the kitchen, the bathroom, and everything is right there. That's what they want you living in. And of course, that's the green thing to do. It's also the slave thing to do. They're the people who are the real masters. They're trying to enslave the rest of us. And we're not fooled by all of this. We know who the real masters are, or who the real would-be masters are, and we're going to fight them tooth and nail to the bitter end, James.
Stuff like this can make you discouraged. You think that everybody is losing their mind, but they are not. Most people still think sensibly. Most people fundamentally agree with us on this show. I firmly believe that. 100% of the media is against us, except for Liberty News Radio Network, and that's about it. 100% of the media is against us, but they do not represent and they do not reflect the thinking of most decent folk. And I'll tell you this, folks, even if they did, even if the audience of this radio program and this network were the only right-thinking people left, we will always be right. They cannot take that from us. We are right, and they are wrong, and it doesn't matter how many people against us, right is right, no matter what. Now, I got another one for you, Keith. The Asians are figuring out that they, as so-called minorities, can also shake down corporations. A Korean woman was called Ching Chong by a clerk at a CVS store, and a CVS is like a Walgreens for people who don't know, people in the South. It's a drugstore. And she has filed a $1 million lawsuit. Now, in a healthy society, the cashier who called the woman Ching Chong would have been told that that was impolite, and the offended woman would have accepted a simple apology. Unfortunately, as sick as this degenerate country has become, I'm sure she'll have a hefty payday. Here's the story. Hyun Lee, who is of Korean descent, used her real name when placing an order for photo prints at a CVS store. However, when Lee picked up her pictures, she says that she was very distressed to find that her receipt read Ching Chong, according to CBS New York. Do you think it's funny? It's very disturbing to me, she wrote. Why didn't he just call me a chink? It has the same racist meaning. The story continues. There's no amount of training or apology that he could do that's going to stop this kind of hate and bullying against my race. To me, this is something that deserves psychological counseling. She went on to file a $1 million lawsuit due to injury, mental anguish, severe emotional distress, harm, and damages, according to ABC News. $1 million worth of pain, suffering, distress, harm, and anguish and damages. Keith, you know this was probably some 16, 17, 18-year-old clerk that, you know, smart aleck that made a mistake that a kid would do. $1 million? I guarantee you she'll get something, though. CVS will settle this out of court.
This should be the ultimate answer to all of you that think that all non-white minorities do not hate whites. They do. And the Asians now have decided they want to cash in on the minority card. They want to get special protected minority status. And they're going to follow the well-trod path that blacks, Hispanics, American Indians, and all of these other groups have followed. It's the golden road to riches. And it's also a perfect example of the fact that whites are the race that all other races love to hate. We need to get that through our heads. No amount of goodwill, good deeds, reparations, or anything else is ever going to change that. If you had a debit card that kept paying off regardless of how much money you had in your account, would you give it up? No minorities are. In fact, now we've got another minority jumping on. You need to remember, I have a son who was in Central America during the last presidential election, and he told me he never felt so alone as he did down there as a white person. He said that all of these people in Central America are, for the most part, strongly Christian, or identify themselves as strongly Christian. They're either strong Christian Roman Catholics or they are strong Christian fundamentalists. And he pointed out that Obama was for abortion, for homosexuality. It didn't matter. They were jubilant because the non-white guy had beaten the white guy. Asians are just like that. They voted 73% for Obama, 71% of Hispanics voted for him, 95% of blacks. We are the target people, and this shows it.
We'll be back right after this, folks. Stay tuned.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Quick parting shots on the story we were covering before the break of the Korean woman suing for $1 million in pain, damage, anguish, etc., because she was called Ching Chong by someone. We hear the bank going ka-ching, her accountant. Yeah, but here's the thing. I want to say this. First of all, obviously, she should knock off the attitude and work for a living like the rest of us do and not play the lottery lawsuit. But, you know, here's another thing. If I were the only guy, the only white guy in an Asian restaurant, and somebody came over to me and wrote John Smith on my receipt, I would actually think that was pretty funny. I would think it was clever. I wouldn't, you know, be offended by it. Even if they wrote cracker on it, which is supposed to be a derogatory term. It's supposed to be like honky, okay, something like that. I mean, you know, I'm an adult. I wouldn't care. I wouldn't complain. I'd scoff. I'd laugh. I might not leave quite as much of a tip as I normally do, but I wouldn't sue. If they call me white trash, I wouldn't sue them for $1 million. I talk about it on the show. I'm called worse than that every day by people who listen to the show.
Well, I don't really think that Miss Lee is that offended by what was said. She just sees an opportunity, and the opportunity will be seized by all non-whites more and more as time goes on, because it's been shown to be a winner. It's how you get the advantage in society. There are all sorts of people that are not of European descent that do not get special protected minority status, like Middle Easterners, for example, that are clamoring for that type of status now because they know it pays off. It gets them into selective colleges and universities. They can sue. They can impose themselves into jobs that they otherwise wouldn't get. Now, what I hope this shows is that it will be the answer to all these people that say that, well, you know, Asians are different. They're more intelligent, and they're with us. No, they're not. They're just as liberal as a whole as blacks and Hispanics. And blacks and Hispanics aren't truly liberal, as one of our commentators to this particular blog item said. They are partisan, and they have properly divined or figured out that being liberal basically means being anti-white. Being a Democrat means being anti-white. So, and the fact that they voted 73% for Obama, you need to let that sink in. That's even more than Hispanics at 71%. We are, as whites, the race all other races love to hate because we've either defeated them militarily or dominated them economically at one point in history, and our success is a reproach to them and their lifestyle. Where would you rather live, China or the United States? Everybody is voting with their feet and coming to the United States. People aren't coming to China.
You know, that's the thing about it, Keith, and you're exactly right. I mean, what a great point, and everybody should remember this. All of these minorities hate whites. They hate the white establishment. Whites are no good. All whites have ever done in their minds is participate in slavery and oppression. White society is abhorrent. But yet, everybody seems to come and immigrate to white countries. If given the choice and given the chance, they immigrate exclusively to white countries. Arabs, blacks, Hispanics, Jews, anybody. Orientals, they all want white women. And listen, yeah, they hate us. We're so evil, but they can't stand not to be able to live in our societies. You know, so what gives here?
Well, I'll tell you exactly what gives. Their animus towards us is not based on any legitimate grievance or wrongdoing on our part. It's instead the product of their envy and resentment of us, our intelligence, our attractiveness, and the attractiveness of the societies that we create. The fact that we can do it, we can build it out of nothing like we did in America, and we did it with what were supposedly the cast-offs, the scum of the earth from Australia. Yeah, Australia was populated by prisoners who were given the choice about either being executed or going to Australia. And these people, these supposedly people from the bottom of the barrel of European society, have been able to create garden spots everywhere else in the world where they've been transplanted. Meanwhile, you can hand over a beautiful city like Memphis, Tennessee, that was voted consistently America's most beautiful city throughout the 40s and 50s. Then when blacks take it over, the blight is everywhere. We've got an article about blight moving east in Memphis that we maybe will have a chance to cover. But they can't, not only can they not create a first world environment, they cannot maintain one that's handed to them on a silver platter. This is what we are dealing with. We're dealing with envy and resentment, and you need to remember that whenever you hear something like this Ching Chong lawsuit.
And if you think what Keith just said is racist, well, what else do you want to call the truth? I mean, there's so many examples we could draw from. Look at Haiti, which was once a pearl of the French. It was the jewel of the Caribbean. It was a great manifestation of French civilization. The most prosperous colony in the New World at one time. I guarantee you nobody wants to live in Port-au-Prince today. After the revolution there, during which the blacks killed all of the French colonists, look at what Haiti has become. Look at what it's devolved into. It wasn't always that way. But it goes to prove Keith's point. Keith, you mentioned blacks and Hispanics in your commentary a second ago, and I got an example here of, once again, how diversity is our greatest strength. Out there in California at Cesar Chavez High School, we have a video at thepoliticalcesspool.org that you've just got to see, folks, if you have not yet seen it. A wild fight erupted between a freshman student and her teacher at Stockton's, California's Cesar Chavez High. It left the student facing assault charges and the teacher facing an investigation. Here's what happened. The fight broke out when Marlena Martinez, 15, began applying makeup during math class. Martinez says her female teacher, who was not identified by name, but as the video shows, was a black woman, confiscated her makeup. Martinez then called her mother on her cell phone and demanded have her demand that the teacher give her back the makeup. When Martinez gave the teacher the phone to talk to her mother, the teacher confiscated the phone. At that point, Martinez confronted the teacher and loudly and vulgarly demanded to have her phone back. The incident developed into a fist fight. And the pair ended up on the classroom. The teacher and the student ended up on the classroom exchanging blows in this classroom brawl. The entire incident was captured on a cell phone by another student, and we uploaded it to our website. Now, so here you have it, Keith, the wonders of diversity. It's not just that they don't get along with whites. They don't get along with each other. And something tells me you would have never seen a sight like this in an American classroom during the halcyon days of the early 1950s, before Brown versus Board, before busing, before affirmative action, and before the rampant illegal alien invasion took hold. But thank God we've progressed so much since 54 to now that we can have, you know, enriching multicultural experiences like this. And I'll tell you this, it's about a 2 or 3 minute video we have from start to finish, all the way up until the fist fight starts between the teacher and the student. See if you can count how many times the F word is said. I mean, could you imagine a kid in public schools in 1950, Keith, cursing out their teacher with F words and going up and assaulting them like this? I mean, it's madness. But that's progress. And we're going to be talking more about Brown versus Board as the anniversary comes a little bit closer here in a few days. That's coming up. But, Keith, make sense of this. You got 2 minutes.
Yeah, you're right. Brown is a turning point. But, you know, this happened in Stockton, California, which recently declared bankruptcy because of the wonderful benefits of diversity. The diverse groups, the non-white groups, have taken over that city, and predictably things are going to hell in a handbasket there, as this video is just, you know, one more log on the fire to show. What this shows you is that none of these minority groups really like one another, but they all equally share in their hatred of whites. Believe me, if a white person walked into the room, these two would probably have stopped fighting with each other and turned on the white person. If there had been a white principal, for example, that came in and tried to break it up. You need to understand what you're dealing with. Quite frankly, just like things go better with Coke, things go better when white people are in charge. Stockton, California, for example, went better when it had white governmental leadership. That school probably had a much better learning environment when it had white administrators in charge and white teachers. You know, I hate to bring this up, but again, all of these minority groups, when they, they share, the only thing they share equally in is their hatred of white people. And we need to understand, one, that you are hated. Asians don't like you any better than Hispanics like you. Hispanics don't like you any better than blacks like you. And furthermore, it's always based on envy and resentment, nothing bad that you've actually done. James, I'm going to give it back to you.
You're giving it back to me just in time to take us into break. Let's listen to the soothing sounds of Frankie Valli.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You got to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
If you love pineapple as much as I do, I've got some great news for you. You're going to love this offer from Freeze Dry Guy. For the month of May, Freeze Dry Guy is offering the finest quality freeze-dried pineapple. A case of 6 number 10 cans yielding 114 servings at a special introductory price. First quality freeze-dried pineapple grown and packed with nothing added. This healthy treat works wonders with salad. It's great for snacking, hiking, hunting, camping, and for adding to your food storage program. And please note that Freeze Dry Guy's foods will store on your shelf for decades. Order now and get free shipping to your front door within the lower 48 states. This special introductory price is good until May 31st. For more information and a free complete product list, go to freezedryguy.com or phone 866-404-3663. freezedryguy.com, 866-404-3663.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 866-986-6397.
Well, I got a story here, folks, and I hesitate to even read the headline, and I'm gonna read the headline exactly as it appeared on the local news here in Memphis, Tennessee. This is a local story. Again, I hesitate to even read the headline because I don't want to be called a racist. You know, I really hate that. But here's the story. Men threaten worker with gun over fried chicken. Now, when I read this story, if I had to ask you what you guess the race of the perpetrator in this story was, what would you reckon? Now, if you said that the perpetrator in a story with the headline, men threaten worker with gun over fried chicken, was black, let me tell you something. You're a no good lousy racist for thinking that. But you're also very right, because that's the case. And here, this is how we do it in Memphis, okay? Here's the story. Jack, this came on Channel 3, the CBS affiliate, a couple nights ago. Jack Purtle's Chicken calls its food down-home delicious, but things got down and dirty after a father and son. That's a story in itself with regards to this story.
Family values.
Father and son got upset about their order. The duo is accused of showing off an AK-47 when they didn't get all of their fried chicken. Police say that Antonius Hart and his 19-year-old son, Antonius Jr., went through the drive-thru at Purtle's Chicken on Jackson. The cashier forgot to give them all their chicken wings. The duo discovered this after they drove away, and they weren't too happy about having to drive back. According to court documents, they went back to the drive-thru and brandished the AK-47. Now, see, the thing about Memphis, though, Keith, is that it would be much more unusual to go a day without seeing a story like this on the news here in town. But once again, diversity is our greatest strength, and we are enriched by stories such as this that we wouldn't have if it weren't for the multicultural makeup of Memphis. We got Peter Stanton on the line. Keith, I'm going to give you 15 seconds to just, I mean, what more can you say? But tell people are probably wondering about Purtle's. You know, you know KFC. Tell them about Purtle's. Make a comment, and then we're going to go to Scoop.
Jack Purtle was the original Kentucky Fried Chicken franchisee in Memphis. His chicken has the original Colonel Sanders recipe. He was a cheapskate. When the Colonel kept trying to dog him as a franchisee into improving his facilities, he basically said he didn't want to have anything to do with it, and he broke away. Now, Jack Purtle said that when he was looking for a new site for a restaurant, he would get out of his car, and if he felt threatened physically or felt insecure, like he might be the victim of a crime, he knew he was in the right place. So that is the background on Jack Purtle Chicken. It is delicious chicken, by the way. People brave the dangers of the ghetto to go in there and get it because it's so good. But this shows the black outlook. Apparently these two fellows thought they had been disrespected, and you've got to understand the concept of disrespected to tie the Gordian knot of black behavior. Why would somebody do this? Apparently it wasn't enough that the staff at this Jack Purtle, which is probably black, offered to give them the chicken that they said was missing. They decided that since they had been put to the trouble of coming back, they should be given extra chicken. And when the staff declined to do this, that's when the AK-47 came out.
I drive through fast food a lot because I'm not a health nut, to say the least. I eat horribly. Wendy's, McDonald's, Chick-fil-A. Well, Chick-fil-A, I've never gotten my order wrong at Chick-fil-A. There was one time they put a pickle on it, and I didn't order it. But out of all the times, if I go to McDonald's or Wendy's on Stage Road here in Bartlett, Keith, you know the main drag here in my little suburban enclave?
Almost always.
50% of the time, I would say a strong 50%, my order is wrong. At least 50% of the time. And I order the most basic, plain stuff, you know. I order a hamburger, mustard only. I mean, how could you mess that up? Mustard only, that's it. 50% of the time they get it wrong. Never once have I brandished an AK-47. But anyway, that's, you know, just the difference in culture, I guess. Peter Scoop Stanton, our intrepid correspondent, is on the line. After 5 years of toiling as one of our staff members, he finally got his mugshot on the crew page on the newly designed website. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, go to the crew page, take a look at Peter Scoop Stanton. Scoop, are you excited about this?
Yep. Can you hear me, James?
I hear you loud and clear, brother.
Okay. Good evening, James. Good evening, Keith. Good evening, Cesspool family. Yep, after 5-plus long years, you see my beautiful face. However, people tell me they should have dug up the corpse and put the picture of the corpse I was standing next to instead of yours truly.
Now, the picture, I asked you to submit a picture for the website remodel because we were going to put you up there on the crew page. And you sent me a picture of you at a graveyard. Now, who who were you standing with there, Scoop?
That was Père Lachaise Cemetery in beautiful downtown Paris. And that person I stand next to is none other than Jim Morrison.
All right, all right. I mean, so Frankie Valli hadn't died yet, so I can't fault you. So, hey, look, he went to Paris. He visited Jim Morrison's grave. Who says the cesspool staff isn't well-traveled and cultured? We're not squares, no. But I'll tell you, Scoop, in addition to serving as a correspondent, in addition to doing a lot of the things he does behind the scenes for us, he finds news stories for us, and he has found a doozy. Scoop, give us the scoop, if you will.
Okay, well, this is courtesy of patdollar.com, where I get a couple news stories. And here's another reason to hate Duke University. As everyone remembers, a bunch of players for the lacrosse team were railroaded and falsely accused of rape, and they're ready to tar and feather them despite the overwhelming evidence. And it was only the political cesspool that defended the lacrosse players slash Duke students. Well, back to Duke students, front page or headline, sexual reassignment surgery for transgendered students will be covered in students' health care plans effective this fall. Now, what this means is that if you go to Duke University and purchase a health care plan, because most schools want you to take buy health care plans if you're not covered under your parents, well, they will now cover sexual reassignment or surgery or sex change surgery up to a $50,000 cap.
All right, Scoop, hold on right there. Keith wants to make a comment. I just want to quickly elaborate what you have covered. Folks, let me just say it again so it sinks in clearly. Duke University is not only paying for students to have sex change operations, they are raising tuitions to cover it. It's free of charge up to $50,000. So if you go to Duke and you say, my genitals and chromosomes be damned, I'm really a girl, they will pay, or a boy, whatever you're not, they will pay for you to get changed. Here's the story very quickly, and then over to Keith, and then back to Scoop. College costs are on the rise, having increased at a rate that outpaces inflation for more than two decades, contributing to record levels of student debt. Nevertheless, Duke University sees fit to raise the cost of its program even more. This week, Campus Reform reports that Duke has raised student fees in order to pay for sex change operations for any students who want one. Administrators say they will cover the cost of reassignment surgery up to $50,000. Okay. Let me tell you this, if America is not visited very quickly with the wrath of God's fury, fire and brimstone, then the man upstairs owes a hasty apology to the citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah. I couldn't imagine it being any worse than this then.
Well, here's my comment. If you'll recall the Duke lacrosse case and scandal of several years ago, in which 88 members of the Duke faculty, before any of the facts were in, jumped on, piled on the bandwagon, and basically had the whole Duke lacrosse team convicted of rape. And there has been no apology when all the facts came out, and actually what happened was the prosecutor there in that part of North Carolina where Duke is located lost his job and was disbarred for prosecutorial misconduct. But, you know, that shows you that there's confusion in the part of the faculty of Duke in more than one area. And I imagine there is a great demand for transgendered surgery among the faculty there. That's probably why it got passed, James.
Well, I'll say this in closing and then back to Scoop for a final word. Homosexuality is a mental illness. That's what it is. It's a mental illness. Well, that's what it was identified with until the early 70s by the American Psychiatric Association. It's still a mental illness, although not an officially listed one. Political correctness took care of that. But people with mental illnesses need intense psychiatric treatment, not indulgence, and not surgery, as these homosexuals are getting. All right, Scoop, final word from you. And thank you, brother, for bringing this story to my attention. I would have not have known about it if not for you. But what do you have to say in closing?
What I have to say in closing, if Duke wants to pay for sex change surgery, why don't they take some of that basketball money and throw it towards students? I mean, it's an institution of higher learning, not an institution of cutting off things and sticking things in where they're coming out at. But it's going to cost, if you think about it, it's going to cost a couple six-pack of beer, a couple cases of ramen noodles for the average Duke student to pay for some freakazoid to get his change.
Final word, Keith.
Well, if they've got that much money to throw around, I've got a novel idea. How about scholarships for white students? They have plenty of scholarships for all non-whites and for all non-heterosexuals. Let's do something really groundbreaking and earth-shaking, like providing scholarships for white kids that need help going to expensive colleges like Duke.
Keith, I'm not going to tolerate that kind of racism on this show. We're going to take a break, folks. We'll be back with the second hour. Thank you, Scoop Stanton. See y'all all in a minute.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.